right. Okay, all the Jesus-loving people, put your hands together. Come on, all the Jesus-loving people, put your hands together. I love that we put our gifts under the tree, but God put his gift on the tree. And that when we open our hearts to Jesus Christ, we open our hearts to the life and the love of God. And this month, we're emphasizing the thrill of hope. When's the last time you and God had a thrill? Not a roller coaster thrill, a creative moment with God that thrilled you. Today is like a blank canvas, and God would like to flow in through and around you to create a masterpiece. And he'd like it. God intends for our lives to be thrilling. I'm concerned. I could actually say it like this. It's kind of sinful to live a boring spiritual life. Because the people I read about in the Bible, they are right on the edge. They're living a life of faith and adventure. And the Christmas story that we're celebrating, isn't the Christmas story filled with adventure? These people that got up in the morning didn't say, I'm going to meet an angel today. Put it on my to-do list. No, they were just going through their lives, and God showed up, and it was thrilling. And the same God that showed up in their lives would like to show up in your life. So we're going to talk about Mary today because she's like one of the stars of the Christmas story. But just get this. Mary was a real person like you. And she lived a life that was interrupted by God's visitation. But she's not just to be this stained glass windowed person, this icon of faith. She is supposed to show us this is what God wants to do in your life. So if your life has become humdrum, mediocre, spiritually going through the motions, showing up at church, God would like this Christmas season to be unusual. He would like today and this week to do some unusual things. He would like to give you the thrill of hope. Because this is the Church of Hope, I get asked, what is hope to you? And there's a lot of beautiful ways to define hope. But hope is, I use an acrostic, helps me, H-O-P-E. Hope is happy, optimistic, positive expectation. Happy, optimistic, positive expectation. And I have an expectation that God is going to do the unusual, the supernatural, and the spiritual in his house and through his people. That's what happened to Mary. We're going to open up to Luke 1 where the story of Mary is. And she has this encounter that we learn about her and her walk with God. And it helps us to learn about us in our walk with God. An angel shows up in verse 26, and the angel's name is Gabriel. That's a very important angel, Gabriel, big-time angel. He was sent by God, and he was sent to a virgin. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he brings Mary this greeting. Look at the greeting that the angel gives to Mary. And it's got like four components to it. Rejoice, that's good. Highly favored one, that's good. The Lord is with you, that's good. Blessed are you amongst women, that's good. Doesn't that sound like a good greeting? If God greeted you with that kind of greeting, wouldn't you just feel good? Mary didn't. It's interesting that when God gave this incredible greeting, it didn't like cause her to rejoice, even though the angel said rejoice. It actually brought great trouble to her heart. Look at verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled. Now, why would Mary be greatly troubled when the angel said so many great things about her? You're favored. You're honored. You're blessed amongst all women. But it greatly troubled Mary because she wondered, what kind of greeting was this? I want you to get this truth from this encounter that Mary has. That God sees you. I want you to write this down too. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. Write it down. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. So the angel shows up and says, you're favored. You're blessed. And Mary's response, who, me? In fact, over and over again in the Bible, when God shows up, there's often this who me factor. I don't quite see it, God. I don't quite get it. You're calling me favored and blessed among women. It kind of troubles me because I don't see myself that way. And I promise you, when God looked at Mary, he saw more in Mary than Mary saw in herself. And when God looks at you, he sees more in you than you see in yourself. Just when God shows up in people's lives, the stories in the Bible, there's often this, who me? Some of you know the story of a guy named Gideon who was in Judges chapter 6, and Gideon is hiding out in a hole in the ground because they're surrounded by Midianites, and he's kind of hiding out in this hole in the ground, peeking over the ridge every once in a while, and he's threshing his wheat in a hole in the ground. And God shows up and says, mighty man of valor. He's hiding in a hole in the ground. And Gideon says, who, me? He literally says, you must not have studied my family tree. Because in the family tree, I'm on the weakest branch. And my family on that branch is the weakest of the weakest of the weakest. It's not me. Because God saw more in Gideon than Gideon saw in himself. How about when God showed up at the burning bush with Moses and said, Moses, I want to use you to set my people free. I want to use you to deliver my people from slavery. Do you want Moses' response was? Who, me? God, you must have knocked at the wrong door. It's Moses. I don't speak very well. You want to have someone that's eloquent, and I don't talk well. And Lord, have you checked my rap sheet? I'm actually on the lam right now. I'm hiding out for murdering someone. I'm not your guy. Pick someone else. But God saw more in Moses than Moses saw in himself. Even the disciple Peter one time said to Jesus, Jesus, please pick somebody else. I'm a sinful man. I'm unworthy. But Jesus said, no, Peter, you follow me, because Jesus saw more in Peter than Peter saw in himself. And I absolutely promise you this, when God looks at you, he sees more than you see in yourself. And if he showed up to greet you today, it would be a great greeting. God wouldn't show up today and say, hello, thou lowly turkey. Because God doesn't see you that way. He would say, rejoice, highly favored one. You are blessed among men. You are blessed among women. Because you go, well, of course this was Mary. Of course she was blessed. But you have to know, at this point in the story, Mary didn't know she was Mary. Like we sing a song now, Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? And she goes, no! I didn't know! The angel showed up and I was greatly troubled. He called me favored. I said, who, me? He called me blessed among women. I said, who, me? I didn't know. God showed up today and greeted you, he would greet you as a son of the Most High God. He would greet you as a daughter of the Most High God. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. So the angel goes on talking with Mary, verse 30. And the angel says, this is pretty standard in the angel handbook. In heaven, they give angels these instructions. When you show up, your first word should be, do not be afraid. Because Mary was her heart. Okay, she's just going through her day. She's going down maybe to check out the well. She's doing whatever she was on her list of things to do. And all of a sudden, this angel shows up. You want to talk about a thrill? Her heart is going, okay, do not be afraid. And the very thing that the angel had said, he reminds her now, because she didn't believe it. He had said, you are favored. Now he has to repeat it. You are favored. It may be greatly troubling to you, Mary, but you are favored. Believe it. And then the angel unfolds God's plan for her. And he says, okay, you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. That was a surprise. And you're going to call him Jesus. Jesus means Savior, the Deliverer. And he's going to be great. And he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he's going to reign over Jacob's descendants for how long? What's it say? For how long? Had there ever been a king that reigned forever? Answer is no, so let's try. Has there ever been a king who reigned forever? You are so smart. And his kingdom, watch, and his kingdom will never end. I want you to write this down. God's plans for you are bigger than your plans for yourself. God looks at you and he goes, not only do I see more in you than you see in yourselves, I've got plans for you that will blow your mind. Because Mary, all of a sudden, she's this young teenage girl. Now she's just going, what, I'm going to give birth to a king? She's not like really high on the social ladder. I'm going to give birth to a king, and he's going to be like a king that is like no other king. Every other king before this had a starting date of being a king and an ending date. So-and-so ruled from this date to this date, and they stopped being king. The Bible has lists of kings. I could read them for you. How many would just trust me that they're there? It's very boring reading. This king starts here and ends here, starts here and ends. And Mary's all of a sudden saying, the plan you have for me is that I'm going to give birth to a king who's going to be king forever. He's an eternal king. Wow. Let me tell you, if you get a vision of the dream that God has for you, you're going to say the same thing. Wow. Let me promise you this. God would like to give birth through you to the dream that is bigger than you could do yourself. I'm going to try that again. I could say it like this. God would like all of us to be pregnant. With a God-sized idea. With a God-sized idea. With a God, because here's Mary. She's got a plan for her life. You know what her plan is? Marry this guy named Joe. Have some kids. Live a simple life. Work to help her husband out in the carpentry shop. And okay, he's a good man. And into that comes the thrill of the first Christmas. You are going to give birth to a king who is going to be the King of Kings, and he's going to rule forever. See, it's so important that you connect to God's plan for your life and discard your plan for your life. When you connect to God's plan for your life, you're going to learn that you are part of something bigger. You're part of something called the kingdom of God, and it's not all about you. It's going to pull you up to go, wow, I'm part of something much bigger. I wish you would catch that. I'm part of something much bigger. When you start to listen to the Spirit of God show you His plans for your life, you go, I am part of something bigger. Let's do this. Let's put our hand on our heart and just say, I am part of something bigger. Go ahead. I am part of something bigger. That's why it's important you get His plans. And when you get His God-sized plans for your life, it's going to create a need in you to lean into God. Because you're going to go, I need help. It's going to cause you to pray a prayer that God loves to hear. There are several prayers that God always answers. Here is a prayer that God always answers, and you should pray it frequently. Are you ready? Simple. You could write it down. Help! It's a good prayer. God loves to hear this prayer. Let's all just pray this one together. Help! And see, when you get a vision of God's dream for your life, you are definitely going to pray that prayer. You're going to go, help! Because it's bigger than you. So Mary's like, King that's going to last forever. So it's good that you catch his plans, because it's going to show you you're part of something bigger. It's going to make you desperate for God. And watch this. When God pulls it off, who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? Let's try it, because everyone should get this one right. When God pulls off a dream that is bigger than you, He uses you to do something great. Who gets the credit and the glory? I encourage you to read Luke chapter 1. It's a great chapter. And once Mary finally gets this, the first thing she does is she starts giving glory to God. She sings a little song. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. She starts doing what the angel had told her to, and my spirit rejoices. Because when you connect to God's dream, God gets the credit and the glory. I often remind people that this ministry, this church, this place that's out here, it is not a work of humanity. We are not smart enough to be where we are. We're not intelligent enough to be in this building. All of this is for the glory of God. It is a vision and a dream that is bigger than we are. And He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. So Mary goes, you see me more than I see myself. You're calling me to a plan that is bigger. And she asks a question. When you catch, here's a question she asks. It's a legit question. When the angel starts explaining that big vision, that big plan, verse 34, she asks a question you probably would ask. How? How? Well, that's a big dream. How? And I found when I ask that question, God doesn't bring full disclosure. God shows like a step or two. He said, this is a walk of faith, and I'm going to ask you to take a step. And she goes, how can this be? Because I am still a virgin. Lord, do you know about the birds and the bees? You created them. You know what she was really saying? Get this. The plan you have for my life is impossible. You know you're in the God zone. You know you're like out there. When you start going, I think that's impossible. That's what she's saying. I think it's impossible. How? And the answer that God gives to Mary is the same answer He would like to give to you today, and I pray that you would capture it. It's not going to be your strength. It's not going to be your wisdom. It's not going to be your intellect. It's not going to be your academics. It's going to be the Spirit of Almighty God that does it. She goes, how? And he says, well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And let me tell you this. When you have a God-sized dream and a God-sized vision, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to come upon you. I'm going to try that again. Or let me say it like this. God would like the Holy Spirit to come upon you today. He does. This is not just for like thousands of years ago. Mary is not there as a stained glass windowed figure. She's there as an example for all of us. That we should listen to God. That we should hear from God. That we should have this holy desperation. How is that going to happen? And the same way the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you so that the one who was born in you will be called the Son of God. God, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit would like to come upon his church in a fresh way this Christmas season. He would like to invade our days with unusual opportunities. He'd like you to go to Walmart, but not just to buy toys. He'd like you to go as a minister, as a missionary, as an ambassador of the kingdom of Almighty God. He'd like you to meet people this week. And while you're talking to them, that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon you. While you're talking. Happened to me this last week. I was out in the community and I met an older lady that I'd probably talked to maybe one or maybe two times in my life. So I'm talking to her, and while I'm talking to her, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary started to like come upon me, and I just all of a sudden knew this is not just a regular conversation. This is a holy happening. And the Holy Spirit started to tell me things that this dear lady needed. And I started to just like speak them out. And I said, hey, I think you need this, and I think you need this. And there was some anxiety, and there was some depression. And she just started to say, how in the world do you know that about me? And I said, God is telling me right now. I said, I'm going to pray. And the power of God is going to come right here. And he's going to do the miraculous while we're here. He would like, what? It would be so incredible if God did that to all of us this week. You would have a thrill of hope. It would be an adventure. Like, you'd be getting up every morning going, wonder what's going to happen. On our pastoral team, probably our best personal sharer of Christ, or best personal evangelist, is Tommy. He's bold as a lion, but he listens to the Holy Spirit. He'll be out in public and he'll go, I've got to go talk to that person. He's like on an assignment. There's nothing more thrilling than Jesus showing up in Walmart. There's nothing more thrilling than when you're going through your agenda and it's like, wow, this is bigger than I thought. And some of you are going, no, that couldn't be me. No, that you do, Scott, if you knew my life, you'd know that couldn't me. And for you, I refer you to the first point. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. He wants to do more through you than you can do in yourself. And he wants to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. And all we have to say, guys, all we have to do is say yes. Yes. It's all we have to say. Yes. Do you see verse 37? It comes in this passage. Maybe you know this passage of Scripture. But you see verse 37, it's in this passage that the Lord communicates. Mary, you may think it's impossible, but in actuality, nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that a great, and that comes out of the story. Comes out of the story with Mary. She says, how? He said, well, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And what you think is impossible is going to be made possible by the power of God. What an incredible scripture. Let's read together verse 37. Can they put their verse 37 up there? Let's read. Okay, we're going to read that together. For with God, nothing is impossible. Let's a little bolder when we read it. Can we do that? For with God, nothing will be impossible. One more time. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Share it with your neighbor now. Go ahead, give them a little word there. With God, nothing, 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 nothing. And to receive that, God's power is greater than your power. That's what he's taught. That's what he's saying. Mary, you're wondering how this is going to happen? Well, my power is greater than your power. What you think is impossible is actually possible. And Mary, all you have to do to participate in this awesome plan is just be available. Aren't you glad that Mary said yes? Aren't you glad? Like the Christmas story would be very boring. It would be. It'd be like, angel showed up, said, Mary, king is going to be born, Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Mary said no, and there would be no more of the book of Luke. There only would be chapter one. In fact, there'd be no more of the story. There'd be no more story. I'm so glad that Mary prays this little prayer. I don't understand it all. It's a little frightening to me. It's much bigger than I could imagine. I don't even know how the Holy Spirit works completely. But I love when she says, let it be done to me according to your word. Whatever you say. Which what she says is whatever you say. Okay, whatever you say. Yes. That's another prayer that God loves, and he loves to answer it. He loves to answer the help prayer, and he loves to answer the yes prayer. When it gets overwhelming, help! And when he asks you to do something, yes! He just loves these prayers. Like, have you noticed this about the prayer? If you study the prayers of Jesus, this is true, you study it. When Jesus prays in private, he prays long prayers, like all night prayers. But when he prays in public, short little prayers. We should learn a lot from Jesus. Like just little power prayers. Come forth. Okay. So I think all of us should pray the prayer. Help! Let's pray it. Help! Let's all pray it. Help! If you don't want help, you don't have to pray it. If you're too proud to pray it, then God works through humility. Not like, oh, I don't know, I'm not going to yell in church. Too sophisticated for that. If you don't pray for help, you can't pray for the yes. Okay, here's good. You pray help. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to receive the Holy Spirit? Yes!
Yes!
Okay, just checking. Like we would, the Christmas story wouldn't be here if people didn't say yes to God. Mary said yes. When I get to heaven, I'm going to thank her. Joseph said yes. Jesus said yes. He was asked by the Heavenly Father, will you go and will you represent the kingdom of God, and will you pay for people's sin on the cross, and will you raise from the dead on the third day? Will you do it? And Jesus said yes. Over and over again, the writers of the gospel says Jesus was obedient. Jesus was obedient to his Father. Jesus was obedient to his Father. He just kept praying that prayer. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. And if you want a thrilling Christmas season, you just start praying. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes to the way he sees you, which is more than you see in yourself. Yes to the plans that he has, which are bigger than you have for yourself. And yes to the very power of the Holy Spirit that you need to accomplish the things that he's calling you to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to stand for prayer. Let's do that together. Let's close our eyes. Let's open our hearts. Our prayer team is going to come to pray and to minister to people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to be invited. Let's just welcome. Let's just welcome the presence of God like Mary did. Be it unto me today, Lord. Lord, be it unto me. God sees more in you than you see in yourself. You are favored. You are blessed. He's calling you to do something that you cannot do yourself, not for your glory, not for your name, not for your reputation, but for the kingdom of Almighty God. A big plan. And the only way you're going to accomplish that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the same Holy Spirit that overwhelmed Mary can overwhelm you. The same Holy Spirit that was in Genesis chapter 1 creating life can create life in and through you. And we just want to say yes. And here's a prayer we're going to pray together that just says yes to Jesus. Let's pray it out loud because God loves to hear our voice as we pray. And let's welcome. Let's welcome all that God has for our lives. Let's welcome the supernatural. Let's welcome the kingdom of God. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome. Let's welcome Him. Let's welcome His ministry and His power. Let's welcome what He can do, which is beyond anything we can do. Let's welcome His creative power. So together we just lift our voice and we say, Dear Heavenly Father. Let's pray that together again. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you. Help. We open our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I lay them down. I need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I need your presence. I need your power. I need to know that nothing is impossible with God. Fill me. Guide me. Speak to me. Lead me. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd really like this not to be a normal Christmas for you. I'd like God to show up. I'd like the kingdom of God to do amazing things. I'd like you to come back next week and tell me about them. Hey, I did this. Prayed for this person. This happened. This family member came over and I was bold and I said some things and I prayed. Here's what happened. I'm going to pray one more prayer, and our prayer team is here to minister to people and to really invite the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Holy Spirit has for you, you need to receive it today. If you've been a guest with us today, thanks so much for coming. We love you. We know that God sees more in you than you see in yourself, and we know God has bigger plans for you than you have for yourself. We just want to see you connect to those plans. If you are a guest, and before we leave, we're going to pray, we're going to have communion, we're going to worship, and then whenever you're done, stop by the VIP room if you're a guest. We'd like to meet you. It's over here. It's got VIP on it. I'd like to give you some gifts and just bless you. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and after this prayer, just let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. Lord, these are your kids. They are your precious sons and daughters. They don't see everything that could be, but come with wisdom and revelation and show us what you want to do in the body of Christ. Show us, Lord, what you want to do in your church. Show us what you want to do in our lives. I pray for just a new openness in this church to the ministry, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, who does what we cannot do, who gives birth to new life. Lord, do that in and through us. Be with our prayer team today. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through them as they pray and minister to people. Lord, for the communion, the bread and the cup of the Lord, we pray, God, that you will bless the communion. And just before I end the prayer, let me, if you're new, let you know that communion is open. There's a communion on the right-hand side and the left-hand side, and you don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. We just ask that as you come to the communion that you think about Jesus. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Think about his love for you. Think about his death and his resurrection. But you're most welcome to receive prayer. You don't have to be a member. Communion, you don't have to be. Just come. You're a friend of Jesus. With that in mind, I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Grace and peace. Grace and peace, guys. Come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. Let's let the Lord do some wonderful work.